Church family, let's pray together. Still speaking God, as these holy words from Holy Scripture are read, may it be for us as if the heavens are opening and we see your Spirit descending on us like a dove, revealing your love for us as your sons and daughters. Amen. Please, open your Bibles and listen, for these are the very words of God coming from Psalm 29, verses 1 through 10. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, all cry, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forever. These are the very words of God. Thanks be to God. The word glory isn't used much these days because we rarely see or think about the true meaning of glory. That's really unfortunate because there is indeed something that truly embodies that word, glory. And that something or someone is God, who is very real and very present. Understanding what glory is can really open your eyes to who God truly is. It's like a blind person finally seeing the light for the very first time. But I believe we all have some understanding of what glory is. It's that moment when you witness a breathtaking sunrise over the sea, or an enchanting dance of the northern lights. Glory is the warm glow shining through the vibrant stained glass windows of a grand cathedral, or when an innocent person bravely stands up to a bully and triumphs in a fight that they didn't even start. Glory is the majestic Norwegian forests or the peaceful Swiss Alpine meadows. Glory is also how the English celebrate a new king or queen. All of that is not just beauty. That's glory. Our cozy living rooms might be lovely to look at and comfortable, but they don't quite reach the level of glory. Remember, glory is more than just beauty, just as joy is much more than happiness. Happiness could bring you peace, comfort, and a sense of satisfaction. But on the other hand, true joy can give you goosebumps and sometimes even bring tears to your eyes. That is what glory feels like. Now, where do we find true glory? It's often when something so closely reflects the nature of God that it shines the brightest. Glory is superb and grand, both spiritually and sometimes even in worldly measures. Imagine a sky sparkling with a million stars, with the Milky Way on a dark night in the countryside. That right there is more glorious than just two faint stars peeking through some thin clouds. Similarly, a towering 50-foot wave holds more glory than a tiny ripple barely breaking the surface of Red Rock Lake. But remember, glory is not only about size or quantity. The true essence of glory lies also in quality. A flawless little diamond gleams more beautifully than an extremely large heap of dirt. All these are wonderful ways to understand God's glory. Things that are just a little like God, pointing us gently in the right direction towards God. Though God is beyond what we can see, at the very end of that pointing, His greatness is so overwhelming that if we were to see His face right now without anything to shield us, we might vanish like a moth drawn into a blazing volcano and die. When God revealed Himself to Israel on Mount Sinai, only Moses could meet with Him and still live to share the story. To protect his fearful people, Moses even had to wear a veil over his face to dull the radiant light that gleamed off of Moses after Moses had spent time with God. The Holy Bible says, "Now, Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain. And the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Now, when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled. And they stood far off and said to Moses, 'You speak to us, and we will listen. But do not let God speak to us, lest we die.'" If you hear that and think, "Well, Pastor Ryan, that's Old Testament stuff. That's primitive. That doesn't happen anymore." You might be right about the smoking mountains and the trumpets, but if you assume that we don't have experiences as magnificent and glorious anymore, you are very mistaken. We today, now, actually have something even more incredible. The author of the Epistle to the Hebrews beautifully expresses this. He states, "For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire, a darkness and gloom, and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and a voice, whose words may the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them, for they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, 'I tremble with fear.' But you You have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirit of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 through 24. Here, in the letter to the Hebrews, God is basically telling us that we, you and I, have received something much, much better than that which brought about much fear to the Israelites on that mountain. We, as Christians, you and I, have received something much better than God's manifestation through a smoky mountain, fire and thunder and trumpets. God's people truly and spiritually receive God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit when we come together today in worship. In worship, God, through many means, by His grace, gives Himself to us, the greatest gift that anyone could ever receive. For Jesus is more glorious than any other manifestation of God throughout history in the Old Testament. When we come to Him in a worship service and experience Jesus in the proclamation of God's Holy Bible, through the waters of baptism, and through the blessing of Holy Communion, you, yes, you, are connecting with God in a deeper, more spiritual, more personal, and more tangible way than the children of Israel did on that mountain. Yes, Jesus embodies love, mercy, compassion, and closeness. But He is also God Himself, perfectly and truly, true God from true God. He may seem to hide, not just passively, but actively, behind the appearance of water or words of the Bible, or behind the appearance of bread and wine, rather than thunder, lightning, fire, and trumpets, and earthquakes. But still, His spiritual presence here is even more real and complete and spiritual than it was in those dramatic signs on that mountain. That is one of the promises that we are given in God's new covenant compared to the old covenant that we heard about in Hebrews. I heard a pious Muslim once say, "If I believed what you Christians believe about what happens at your worship service, if I believed that that thing that looks like a little piece of bread is really the spiritual body of Jesus, and if I believe that Jesus is really divine, is really God, I understand how I could fall down on my knees and worship Him as you Christians should do. But if I believe that, I don't understand how I could ever get up again off my knees for the rest of my whole life, knowing that I am on my knees in such a glorious God." That's the recognition of glory. The fantastic, overwhelming love of God who became a man and was crucified to save us poor sinners. That's the most glorious thing that has ever happened. All the beautiful images of glory in nature, all the glorious symbols in the liturgy of the Jewish temple that the psalmist that we heard today sings about, and all the symbols of the liturgy of the Christian worship service are tiny, pallid, and radically inadequate images of that glory. when you leave the church today, you're still surrounded by something truly extraordinary. I'm not just talking about the beauty of nature, but about something even greater. Just like Christ is spiritually present in Holy Communion and in baptism and in the Holy Word of God, he also resides in our neighbors. In the Holy Scriptures that we have read today, it is revealed that God is present in nature, behind the thunder and lightning and trumpets, and he's spiritual present in the things that we do in worship, such as baptism, the proclamation of God's holy word, and Holy Communion and worship. He's hidden behind this, the appearances of the water and bread and word. But God also resides gloriously in our neighbors, often behind many human imperfections. We all have our struggles. Being spiritually crippled, blind, and deaf, sinful, and no one is entirely free from these hardships. But yet God still resides among us, and through us, and in us. God is present in all three of these ways. All three are glorious, but in different degrees of glory. There is more glory in the least human person than in all of nature. And there is infinitely more glory in ordained, God-filled worship than in all humanity. Why does God hide in all three of these places? Nature, people, and worship. There are two main reasons. First, we simply can't handle seeing the divine glory of the Creator directly as it remains veiled behind those familiar creaturely appearances. Second, it's because we need to activate and strengthen our innermost eyes, not the eyes of our body or the eyes of our feelings and thoughts, but the eyes of our Christian faith. Christian faith isn't just a feeling or a story. It's a certainty, a true seeing of the God who truly exists. This correct way of thinking helps us to understand that the divine is very present and among us, even when hidden, guiding us step by step towards a deeper, more spiritual, and more real Christian faith. But how do we live this Christian faith in glory to God? In his book, Don't Waste Your Life, John Piper points out that the key difference between humans and animals is that people have the special opportunity to make choices about their lives and their work. Those choices can either honor or dishonor God and can give or withhold glory to God, giving us a meaningful way to shape our Christian faith. Piper in this book writes, "No beaver or bee or hummingbird or ant consciously relies on God. No beaver ponders the divine pattern of order and beauty and makes a moral choice to pursue excellence because God is excellent. No beaver ever pondered the preciousness and the purpose of God and decided, for God's sake, to make a dam for another beaver and not only for himself. But humans have all these potentials because we are created in God's image. We are created to image forth God in these ways for God's glory. When God tells us to subdue the earth, to shape it and use it, he doesn't mean for us to do it like a beaver. He means for us to do it like a human in a morally self-conscious person who is responsible to do his work intentionally for the glory of his Maker. I don't know. Anybody here a beaver? Is that your spirit animal? No, God has made us to be human. And being made in the image and likeness of God, it means that we are made for glory and for greatness. But often, we just take the road that is easy. The road that has the least amount of friction. The road that tries to make the most people happy. And often that is not the road that we are meant to travel. That is not the road that leads to glory. That is not the road that leads to greatness that God calls his people. What is the greatest thing that anyone can do, my friends, that Jesus tells us? No greater love is what? Is this, that someone would lay down his life. It's not easy to lay down one's life. Jesus did it for us and calls us to carry our own cross and to do the same. Because God wants us to enter into that greatness and that glory. You know, I actually feel kind of bad about this because in my sermon today, I actually had the same example that another pastor used last week. And that example was actually posted to our men's group. But that example actually comes from Pete Hegseth's book, I want to make sure I get this right, Modern Warriors. Pete Hegseth in his book tells this story where there are these recruiters that come to a school to recruit people into the Army, Navy, and Marines. And so, you have the recruiter come up for the Army, and he gives this great speech of how, if you join the Army, then what we're going to do is we're going to give you money afterwards. You're going to be better off financially, and we'll pay for your school. So come and join the Army. Then he had someone from the Navy come up. And that person from the Navy goes ahead and says, hey, this is going to be a great opportunity for you. In fact, you are going to learn so much. It's going to help you out later on for your development, for your career. And in fact, in the Navy, we fly more than the Air Force. And then comes the recruiter for the Marines. And he comes up on the stage and he looks down every single person for a few minutes without saying a word. And after he does that, packs up his papers, and he starts to leave. And says, I don't see anyone here ready for this. You are not worthy to serve in such ways. You are not ready to sacrifice that which needs to be sacrificed. You are not ready for the greatness that the Marines call people to. And then he leaves. After all of this, you had a table set up with a recruiter from the Army, the recruiter for the Navy, and the recruiter for the Marines. Do you know what line had the most. The army had a few. The navy had a few. The marines had a line out the door. Often in the church, we are wanting to make a comfortable place for people to be. We talk about the love of God. We talk about the ways that God has saved us. And those are wonderful things to talk about. But God also calls us, you and me, to greatness and to glory, to lay down our lives for the sake of the church, for the sake of people who are lost. God calls us to greatness. God does not call us to less. God calls us to more. And we are able to do more. You know what? Just like that recruiter, you and I, we are not prepared for this. But praise be to God, because He lives in us and through us and around us, because He feeds us with His grace and His glory, that He gives us everything that we need. He gives us Himself. Then we are able to go out and serve. What do you want for your life? What do you want for this church? What do you want for your family, your friends, your neighbor, and our community? May it be the greatness and the glory of God. And may you and I lay down our lives like our Savior did for us, that we too may build God's kingdom and church here on earth, especially in our community. May it be so. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray together. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to His people on earth. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to His people on earth. God, we ask right now, like You did when You fell upon Jesus in His baptism, Lord, we ask that the Holy Spirit would fall upon us. Lord, like Your Holy Spirit fell upon the apostles and disciples during their time in the upper room, we ask, O Lord, that You would fall upon us, Your people. We ask, O Lord, that You would give us everything that we need. We ask, O Lord, that we would hand ourselves over, that we, O Lord, would get on our knees, knowing the God that we serve in this place, the God that we experience in this place. And that, Lord, we would prepare ourselves because You are preparing us and because You give Yourself to us. That through that, we may grow Your church and kingdom in Your holy name. Amen.